Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No. Stanley Kubrick. He made the film in 1968 about the 2001, A Space Odyssey.
He
made that film in 1968.
He did.
And then, because he was so good at doing the space film thing, in 1969, when they landed on the moon, I say that in air quotations.
Air quotes, yeah.
Then they asked Stanley Kubrick, can you help us out with this video? And Stanley Kubrick was like, yeah, I serve, you know, my country and stuff. And then in 1980 he made The Shining, and in The Shining there's loads of references. It's like a film about how the moon landings are fake, and Stanley Kubrick feels really guilty about it.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds to me exactly like the sort of nonsense you read on the internet.
That's fully true.
It's fully true, is it?
Fully true. Nothing's fake about that.
It's on the internet.
No, because
therefore it's true. It's nonsense. No, Ruth,
I just don't think they landed on the moon.
Lee Harvey Oswald killed President Kennedy. We landed on the moon in 1969, and Lady Diana, well, we can't
there's no way. And I don't think that 9/11...
The jury's still out on the car crash in Paris.
Yeah. I don't think that 9/11 was fake. Like, I do think that those were real planes, and they did really go into the Twin Towers. But
if you go on the internet, you'll find that it is a, in the same way as you find the moon landings are fake.
But I don't believe that's much. But I do believe that the government did know about it, and they didn't do everything that they could have done stop it.
9/11.
Yeah.
What?
Because that's
the trouble. The internet people.
The Bin Ladens were like best friends with the Bushes.
Who says?
But I've read that somewhere, and that they helped get the Bin Ladens out.
Right.
They put them on a plane, and then they got them out.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
It's true because you read that somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, it's only
you
as, read it
in
it's book, only as
you?
True.
You read it on the
it's
internet.
Only as true as you reading somewhere that they did everything that they could to stop 9/11.
I'm actually relying on reputable news reporters. I'm not relying on some idiot in Arizona putting stuff on the internet.
You can believe what you want to believe, yeah.
But the good thing is we seem to be getting some level on this, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
Before we start, though, some very good news for you. There's a headline in the Times which said, we should be a little less eager to say fewer. As you know, it's been one of the main features of the first series of the podcast. We're into series two now.
Ridiculous.
But in the first series of the podcast, we were talking, you would say, there are less people. And I would say to you, no, not less people, fewer people.
Because you can't have less of a person. Although you can have less of a person.
You can. But they say we shouldn't be, it's usage really.
Yeah, it's the same thing with that metaphorically and literally and stuff.
Oh, no, it's not the same thing.
No, but someone did. No, someone tweeted being like, it's used as an antonym for metaphoric, like using an antonym for metaphorically, and it's not, it's taken on a new meaning.
Well, literally, as far as I'm concerned, is, and there was a classic one. You know, in a football match, if somebody kicks the ball straight to the goalkeeper, so it's very easy for the goalkeeper to catch, or in rugby as well, if you do a long kick and it's very easy for the fullback to catch, the metaphor we usually say, right down the fullback's throat is what you say, and you know what I mean. It's right down his throat because it's straight
I
to
get
him.
It.
Yeah, there was a commentator who said a match on Saturday last week, because it was a very straight shot, goalkeeper saved it easily. He said that one straight down the goalkeeper's throat, literally.
Which, no, but it's so, used
and that's
as
people
it's used
do,
as
and
like
that's
an,
not right.
Yeah, but it's used as like an emphasizer. Does it make the meaning any less clear?
No.
If it doesn't make the meaning less clear, this is something I've been learning more and more as I get older. that if something doesn't affect the meaning, then don't mention it. Do you know what I mean? With grammar and with words, if it doesn't affect the meaning and it's still clear, then you don't need to say anything about it. Like, just don't be a dick.
Should we start?
Also, on the subject of conspiracies...
Oh, yeah.
I just think they get a lot of the stuff from the ocean and then they can just say it's... Like, loads of stuff turns up and they're like, I don't even know what this is. This doesn't look like anything from Earth.
What, plastics, you mean?
No, not plastics. Like Area 51 stuff.
What's Area 51 stuff?
Like the aliens. Area 51.
I've never heard of Area 51. Tell me what Area 51...
You've never heard of Area 51?
No.
I don't know.
I avoid all that stuff on the internet.
No, Area 51 is a real thing.
What is it?
It's where the government... So, this is what it is. The United States Air Force facility, commonly known as Area 51, is a highly classified remote detachment of Edwards Air Force Base within the Nevada test and training range. There was a film about it, and loads of, like, weird stuff happens there and things. There's, like, been UFOs and conspiracy theories.
I know about the UFOs,
and sometimes
they
find stuff and people don't know what it is. Or, like, they'll find some really weird, like, alien-looking animal thing.
Right.
And then the government can just say, it's from the ocean. It's from the depths of the ocean.
So you think they're covering up the UFOs. What's the famous... the Roswell. Is this the Roswell UFO incident?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
But the aliens, like, land there... Or they, like, drop stuff down there and then they use the alien technology to make their, like, war technology better.
You're in a wacky mood this week, Ruth. Some people would say you may be spending too much time on the internet.
But I just think that the government gets away with a lot of things by saying it was found in the depths of the ocean.
Let's move away from the internet to real life. And I understand that they're now doing hash browns in Subway, you were telling me.
I went on a night out and I had Subway hash browns.
That's part of the new Subway economy menu, isn't it?
Yeah, they're really cheap.
It's about £1, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like really, really cheap.
Yeah, but it's not very nutritious for your pound, just hash browns.
No, I mean, they're fine. I mean, it's potato, isn't it? But I wonder how something can look so crispy but be so soft.
Yeah, so it wasn't
like
crispy.
They looked so, like, crisp and, you know, and then they'd be soft in the centre. But really what they were was extremely soft and so unbelievably hot that you thought the roof of your mouth was going to melt off.
Mm. I think what it is, because I know people do look to this podcast, at least in series one they did, for comment on fast food.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like they're now...
You know what is good, though? McDonald's always have a seasonal fried cheese offering. Mm.
Because we want to point out for new listeners who are just catching us on series two, you're a pescatarian.
Yeah, I don't eat
or
meat.
Or a fish and chippocrite, as we sometimes call them.
Yeah. And they have a seasonal cheese offering of like a fried cheese or whatever. And they had mozzarella sticks and those were absolutely incredible. Best things I've ever eaten. They were just brilliant.
Mm.
Like, they were perfect. And then they got rid of them and they keep bringing back new ones and they're never as good. And then they had last... month or something, there was spicy cheese nachos and they were really disappointing and not good at all. And then now they have camembert bites because it's Christmas with like a spicy tomato sauce, and it's really, the camembert bites are really good. So if you're at McDonald's,
but the hash browns from Subway,
yeah, don't bother.
But I suspect what Subway have done is introduce an economy menu to try and catch up with McDonald's, because McDonald's always have a cheap offering, don't they? A very, very cheap offering.
McDonald's is much cheaper. They have the 99p service menu.
Yeah, and that's why Subway have done it, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Such a lot of exciting stuff you've told me about this week. I don't know whether this is another conspiracy theory about the Japanese ships. What was that?
Oh, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just fully, this is true. This year in get ready for some real great pronunciations of different Japanese words. Yomiuri Shimbun is reporting that a record number of 89 vessels...
Is that a Japanese paper, the Yomiuri Shimbun?
Yeah. Record number of 89 vessels, either wrecked or deserted, have been identified near Japanese shores, according to the Tokyo Coast Guard. Many have been in the vicinity of the Hokkaido, region to the north, and almost all of them on the country's western flank facing the Korean Peninsula. That's where it gets interesting, because what do we know about Korea?
what we know about Korea is split between North and South, and Kim Jong-un is in charge in the North.
Out of these 89 vessels that have washed up on the shore of Japan, five were found to contain a total of 12 dead bodies. That's quite a lot of bodies. Analysts have suggested that a number of the boats were maybe carrying refugees. That's been a suggestion. Other ones have thought maybe it's fishermen struggling to fulfil the quotas that are set by North Korea because they're under a lot of pressure to bring in fish and stuff. And then the annual, there's always an annual inrush of these ships that wash up on the shore. Mm. But this year especially, they've been nicknamed, some of them have been like zombie ships because they're just fully, just dead crew.
People, yeah.
So Japan have been like, this is not okay at all because Korea, you can't like be bringing people onto our shores and stuff. But I just find it such an interesting story that there's just all these boats washing up with like dead crews because it reminds me of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Now, I used to occasionally take you to your singing lessons. Back in the day. Which was in an old industrial building, Holbeck in Leeds.
It was an old chapel.
And I used to take you there. And occasionally I used to wait for you in the car. And once or twice I waited for the car, a young woman would come up, tap on the window and say, are you wanting to do any business?
To which his response would be, no.
My response would be, thank you very much indeed, but no thanks. The reason being was that Holbeck had been sort of initiated as Leeds's first decriminalised red light district. So basically, prostitution. It was a sort of dipping your toe in the water on legalising prostitution. Mm. And everybody, they thought, at least, you know, we can confine it. You can control it. It's not worked, has it?
No, which is, I find it surprising because I've always thought sex work should be legal because that's the only way that you can protect people. But then it's not worked. And
it's not worked at all. I mean, I'll read you what it says here. Leeds established a red light district in 2014 as a progressive way to help sex workers operate in a safe environment. Instead, children at nearby schools are being propositioned by punters. A 21-year-old prostitute was murdered. Most of the 180 women working in the zone are addicted to drugs. And locals spend hours every weekend picking up discarded syringes.
But then in the red light district in like Amsterdam, is notorious for it. It kind of works, doesn't it?
I thought they tended to
be quite safe.
There's a variety of views on that. Some people say that it's increased sex trafficking in that
the
prostitutes are trafficked from poor areas of Europe, Albania, Romania or wherever. It also says here, crack cocaine addiction is causing some women to do anything for cash in hand. Jeremy Corbyn has spoken in favour of prostitution being legalised.
But then maybe there's only these problems caused by it because it's in these like confined areas and stuff. Maybe if prostitution was legal across the country or across the world, then it would work.
See, my view is that it's not prostitution that should be legalised. What should be legalised is drugs.
I think we've spoken about this.
Yes, I think if heroin were made, you know, because it's drug addiction, clearly. Reading this story about Leeds, it's drug addiction.
The problems are not around the prostitution.
No, it's drug addiction that's driving it. I can't read the whole article, but there's loads of interesting stuff in it about The Handmaid's Tale.
So in The Handmaid's Tale, there's like Jezebels. I don't know whether it mentions that.
They mention Jezebels in here, yeah.
Yeah, basically regime in Gilead, which is I love that I talk about The Handmaid's Tale as if it's a real thing that's like going on
well
in the world.
Like you talk about faking the moon landing as if it's a real thing and Japanese zombie ships.
No, that is the Japanese zombie ship thing is real.
Yeah, okay. Handmaid's Tale.
Jezebels and the Gilead regime that are these very puritanical people and stuff, and they set up this Jezebels, which is kind of a way that they're sort of fallen women or women who aren't good enough to be handmaids or whatever, they put on like low-cut clothes and all that kind of thing, and they're allowed to do drugs, and the men who are the commanders go there, and it's kind of like if you allow them this little pocket of like rebellion, then it's an easy way to actually control people.
Yeah, and I'll read you exactly what it says about that. It says, for every Belle de Jour, which is a French film, or Julia Roberts' character. Nonsense. Who says...
brilliant film, though.
We say who, we say when, we say how much. There are hundreds of exploited women being used or trafficked in scenes more reminiscent of the Jezebel's brothel in The Handmaid's Tale, according to this piece.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? That in an ideal world, the women who become prostitutes because they want to, yeah. But actually most people do it out of necessity or being forced. But the funny thing about prostitution is that prostitution is illegal, but pornography isn't. I feel like you can't say one type of sex work is actual work and one type isn't. It has to be more broad.
Ruthie, there's been a complete switch over as far as the emails go. If you remember, I think you sort of complained mildly about the fact...
I wasn't complaining, I was just saying it as...
You observed that most of the emails came from people who'd heard me on TalkSport or on Fighting Talk and that sort of thing, and were, I think cronies was the word that you used, cronies of mine. Now we're getting lots of emails from people who are much younger. This is from Ralph Brown, who says, "Dear Martin and Ruth, love the podcast. The father-daughter discussion is such a simple concept. I'm surprised there aren't other similar podcasts out there over the years. Maybe there are." Well, yeah, I looked, and there's not really anything like this. He says, "I'm in my 20s, excellent, without kids, and not old, exclamation mark. He says, I'm still a few episodes back, although there was a mention of cruising in one of them. You remember we talked about cruises and the environmental damage?
Oh, yeah. It was like cruising, like... cruising down the street in my 6'4".
Not like that. He says, "I work as a musician on a Caribbean-based cruise ship, and it's true, they're evil," he says, "as are the guests. The ships are harmful."
Ooh.
Yeah. "The ships are harmful and polluting, and the over-tourism is ruining the islands. Governments pay cruise corporations huge money to saturate the islands and turn large areas of land into fake corporate enclosed resort areas. Guests rarely venture out and the locals never profit. It's all a very fake experience. I never go on a cruise holiday. However, it's a huge and growing industry. If someone ever discovers how to make cruising environmentally friendly, I'll be having some shares in that." He says, "P.S. I'm a Queggs lad." That's Queen Elizabeth Grammar School in Wakefield, from Donny. "So I enjoy all the banal chat about Yorkshire life, the accents and crap trains / train toilets, having had a Northern Rail commute for 10 plus years." He says, "The podcast and a dose of normality is refreshing, especially out here in the pretend world. Keep up the good work," which is very nice.
Pretend
isn't
world.
It? On a cruise ship. That
it's
is a pretend world. A very much pretend world. And one here from David Ailes, Eyles. How would you pronounce that? Eyles or Ailes?
Isles.
There you go. Well, we'll find out because I'm sure he'll get back in touch with us. He's out in Basra, so I'm assuming he's out with the services. So the good thing about that is this overnight show that I do on Talk Radio, he would be within a time zone that could hear it. Because he said, "I turned on Talk Radio this morning at 2:30 a.m. your time, had to do a double take when I heard you guys on there." He says, "I love the new series. Conversation just flows," he says. "Velvet flares." He's commenting.
Oh, I forgot that we talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about the velvet trousers. He says, "When I was an awful lot younger, I wore velvet flares along with platform shoes bought from my mum's Littlewoods catalogue." This would be like another country to you.
And no, I get it, though.
And a striped jumper, Slade era. You know, Slade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do Christmas song.
They do that Christmas song. They do loads of other songs as well.
Well, but I mean...
I always say, remember, music fans, Slade, it's not just for Christmas. If you do want to get in touch with us and send us an email, we love to get them, don't we, Ruth? Yeah, we really do. Occasionally you get a short reply from me.
Yeah.
But very rarely one from Ruth.
No.
If you do want to get in touch with us anyway, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'll do the music in just a sec. If you want to get hold of our music...
go to the Spotify playlist and you can type in Ruthie, me and my dad and that'll take you straight to the playlist. Or Martin and Ruth. You know what? Actually, type in Martin and Ruth, which takes you to our profile, then click on the playlist because the podcast is also on Spotify.
It is.
So if you can find the actual podcast on there. So it's a little bit more difficult, I think, to find the playlist now because it gets confused you can find it, but it's a little... because you can sometimes get confused.
It's a good playlist. I like it. Because I've not been onto Spotify. You say it every week, but I've not done it until recently. And it's a really good playlist. And then it brings up all sorts of other stuff that I quite like. In fact, it brought
up... this is Dad discovering Spotify about 3 years after it popularity.
It's true. All right. But yeah, so it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Do you think we've said that enough for...
No, I think I should say it one more time.
Say it one more time?
Yeah, I think I should. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. take a short break for a commercial at this point for a product that we, or a podcast that we really approve of.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And the music this week. Now, I was talking about Spotify a little bit earlier on, having just discovered Spotify a couple of years late, when I went to our playlist. Really enjoyed it. A bit of, you know, stuff we've played in the past, Scott Walker, Stormzy, all sorts of good stuff. It brought up 50 great Beatles covers, a playlist. And the one that I'm going to play this week is from one of those...
chose the Beatles, sir?
No, it's 50 great Beatles covers. Okay. So these are all cover versions of Beatles songs. It was one I wasn't aware of, by Fiona Apple. Are you familiar with Fiona Apple?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, she was born in 1977, so she's only 41. As you know, up till now...
The youngest person Dad's ever done.
Yeah, precisely. Most of my people are in their 70s. Well, they're in their 70s or sadly no longer with us. But she's only 41, so plenty of years left. And this is her doing Across the Universe.
Sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me.
Like that,
don't you? Are you familiar?
Sounds like some song that someone's done for an advert. I just find it lazy, acoustic covers like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I think a cover has to be really, really good and really different from the original to be good.
Are you familiar with the original then?
Yeah.
From the Beatles album Let It Be, John Lennon. Yeah. Well, I liked that. I thought it was really good.
Sounds like they've done it for a bank advert.
Well, maybe it's the sort of thing we'll be using it, but it doesn't mean it's a bad record if it's on a bank advert, though, because or it's on any sort of advert. Because the thing about adverts is they will choose. They'll choose some. Well, what did you think?
I'm a bit over these like whimsical female covers of,
okay,
of old songs.
But well, no, I'd be interested to know what the public think. Should I give the address again? She was classically trained on the piano as a child. Fiona Apple began composing her own songs when she was 8 years old. She's won a Grammy Award for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance for a song called Criminal. She's a vegan, if that's of any interest to you.
It is.
Yep. During an in-depth interview, she revealed that she's battled obsessive compulsive disorder throughout her adult life, and had recently decided to quit drinking. She has also gone on record about struggling with depression, self-harm, post-traumatic stress, and trust issues with men. That track we played, Across the Universe, was a bonus track on the Japanese edition. And I know how you love everything all Japanese, don't you? On a Japanese edition of her second album, When the Pawn. So, a pawn, P-A-W-N. So that's mine this week, Fiona Apple. Sorry to have disappointed you. introduce me to yours.
So mine is a song called November by Babe Heaven, and it's a new song. It came out really recently. And I'll explain later.
I don't forget when you come
Well, you're a few weeks late with that because it's November.
Yeah, true.
Title of the track, November.
Babe Heaven is made up of West Londoners, Nancy Anderson, who's the singer, and Jamie Travis, who's the guitarist. And they, when they first met, they were both working day jobs. Nancy in her grandmother's antique shop and Jamie in an organic farm store. And then they sort of started working on this, like, soul and electronic music that's kind of like Massive Attack or Cocteau Twins. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, the Cocteau Twins.
Cocteau Twins, it's kind of got a...
It's from my era, the Cocteau Twins.
Vibe of that. And it's... I liked this. It's trip-hop.
Trip-hop. Trip-hop. Yeah, I know trip-hop.
So I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah, well, I quite enjoyed it. It's a shame you didn't enjoy mine.
No, I didn't not enjoy it. I just kind of heard that being done quite a lot of times before.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Let's move on to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Because you're dedicated to that programme. You watch it every single night.
And so, if I don't watch in the night, I will catch her.
Well, we know what's happening.
I don't really know what to say.
Well, we know that Harry Redknapp is favourite. I'll tell you what... let me tell you my observation then. My observation is those rats that they put on Harry Redknapp and Nick Knowles must have... You know, they say no animals were harmed and all that sort of stuff. Mm. They must have been fed first, and they must have been sedated. And the reason I say that, and that
everything else I'd be fine with, but rats really, they really make me feel...
They make a lot of people feel queasy, and that's because they're from, in the original, 1984.
That's what's the scariest.
The rats are the scariest. But
in the original 1984, also known as The Book.
Yes. The book.
In the original 1984.
No, what I mean is...
What do you mean, the original?
And now I'll tell you what I mean. Do you want
the
to
film?
No, I'm talking about George Orwell's book, 1984, which... If you like to think of it, it's the grandfather of all the reality shows. Because, you know, so...
But it was just the way you said in the original 1984 makes it sound like you were... Like it's...
No, I'm not suggesting that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But if you were to trace I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here...
No, I know, but
you went right the way back, what would you find?
1984, I'm not denying that.
No. In the original 1984, because
the rats were the most scary.
Right. So therefore, they have to use rats in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, because they know that is one of the particular animals or creatures that cause revulsion. And what I'm saying is, my conspiracy theory, if you like, because I have no mean, rather like half that stuff that you've said, I have no proof for this, but what I think was the rats that they put on Harry Redknapp and Nick Knowles, who were in the cages and they put the rats in there, had been sedated, because rats scurry around. They scurry around really fast and they nip and they bite. And these rats didn't nip or bite or anything.
I don't know.
They
just, maybe.
So that's my theory on that. The other thing about I'm a Celebrity, which you can probably tell me about, is Holly Willoughby apparently has become a bit of a fashion icon.
Well, you're bound to be judged based on what you wear if you're a woman. And I liked especially the Daily Mirror's Holly Willoughby's jungle outfits. Do they get a thumbs up from you? Like, who would ever do that to Ant and Dec? I don't know. And then I think loads of people complained, I think, about her not... She was showing too much skin one day and not enough the next day. It's just ridiculous. Ant and Dec would never be judged based on that. They would be judged based on the quality of their presenting, whether they were funny or not. They wouldn't be judged on what they looked like. And I just think it's such a good example of how women are still held to a different standard to men.
Mm. And the thing about women is... the thing about women is, of course, they're not funny. There's, all right, I'm joking. But Holly Willoughby... Ali Ross, who's a top TV critic, writes a column in The Sun. Mm. And I was talking to Ali Ross about Holly Willoughby, and he didn't think... I mean, I think she's been fine on the show. Most people said she's been pretty good on the show.
She's been pretty good. She said some funny things.
Yeah, she's been pretty good. He reckons she's got no comic timing. I wondered what you as a... You know, he just said...
I've not noticed that. Says,
she's okay, but she's just not got the timing that Ant McPartlin's got.
I think that's unfair, because Ant and Dec have been working with each other since they were, 20, and they were like
before
kids.
Before that, teenagers.
Yeah, they were like teenagers when they started working together. Of course you can have good comic timing with someone that you know so well. I have good comic timing with my sisters because...
Do you? I've not noticed that. So
because you bounce off each other once you know someone really, really well. Mm. But I don't think Holly Willoughby has shown that she's had bad
comic
timing. She's
been okay or more than okay?
I think she's been good.
Been good, yeah. Well,
I think it's big shoes to fill, really.
Mm.
But I think she's been good.
Not that big shoes to fill.
No, Ant's the tall one, Dad. So.
Oh, is Ant the tall one? So they're off quite big.
Nice.
I never know which one's the tall one. Dex the short one. Yeah. Well, now this is because they make jokes about him being short, don't they, on the programme. But as far as the winner goes, Harry Redknapp is and has been from the start odds-on favourite, short odds-on favourite, despite your urging me to back John Barrowman.
I just thought that Harry Redknapp might do something that could put him out and then John Barrowman would win.
Yeah, well, John Barrowman.
Apparently not.
I backed him at 8-1 on your advice. As the person who watches so much reality TV.
I don't watch so much reality TV, I think that's unfair.
Well, let's work it out. You watch I'm a Celebrity and you wait for that series to start and you watch every one.
I just really enjoy it. No, because it also means that like Christmas is coming.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people look on the World Darts Championship as the sign that Christmas is coming. And you like
a lot of people.
Yeah, and you like darts on the TV, don't you?
I do like darts. It's fun.
Yeah, darts is a lot of fun.
Have they got rid of the walk-on girls in darts now as well?
Yes, they have. I think it's
they got rid of it on everything.
I think so.
Because they got rid of them on boxing, didn't they? And Formula One.
Formula One, they've definitely got rid of them. And on darts as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a...
Well, I'm not watching now then.
No, it's a real shame. It's a shame for the girls who used to do it, but there you go. Something else I'll mention is it's not a news story, but Jenny Murray, who I've worked with actually, she's the host of Woman's Hour, so she's quite a powerful woman, a good role model, and all that sort of stuff. And she does speak up on feminist issues, but she put forward the view that trans women aren't proper women because they've got, you know, she wasn't being transphobic. She was just saying that as far as she's concerned...
It is transphobic.
Trans-erasure. Yeah, well, trans-erasure, that's a new one on me.
No, that's people say transphobia and trans-erasure. Like, implying that trans people are either don't really exist, it's not a real thing, they're not real women, they're not real men.
I don't think she was denying that's a real thing, but what she was saying was to be considered a whole, complete woman, you have to have gone through, you know, if you just suddenly become a woman in adult life, you've not gone through, you know, periods and all the usual
stuff. Yeah, but that's not what makes you a woman at all. Just being able to have a reproductive system makes you more of a woman.
She was due to speak at the Oxford History Society event. They had a series called Powerful British Women in History, and she was due to speak at that. And she was forced to pull out because they thought that it would upset trans right activists, etc.
Yeah, that is wrong.
Yeah, well, that's all I was trying to say about this. I wasn't saying that that's not particularly my view. I haven't got a view either way on the fact
You've
that...
You've not got a view either way?
I disagree with her view, but I agree with her right to express it when and wherever she wants. That's the whole point.
But then
and I think what's happening now is people with views that might offend...
Yeah, you know, that's true.
I think her view might offend... I have one friend who is a trans woman, and I'm pretty sure that what Jenny Murray said would offend my friend. It went through a lot to become a woman, you know, a trans woman with all the operations and all that stuff. And therefore, I disagree with her view. But what I also disagree with, probably more strongly, is the fact that she's prevented, in universities of all places, from expressing the view.
No, I agree that she should be allowed to speak on the university because what she said is not... It's not that controversial. It's not really transphobic. It's not massively wrong what she said, and I understand. I don't understand what she's saying, but because I don't agree. But I think she should be allowed to say it in the universities. I think that's fine. I think that censorship is awful, and I think that it stops people having all the knowledge to make like decisions and stuff. But I think that you cross a line into. You're saying everyone should be allowed to express whatever they want to say all the time.
No, I'm not saying
but you
everything.
Are,
I'm not. I'm saying if it could cause
anything,
violence.
But anything could cause offence.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would cause offence. Fine. I think my view on causing offence is fine.
I should be allowed to get up and say that the Holocaust never happened.
What I'm saying is...
But that's the same thing as what she's saying.
No, she said that She refuses to accept that trans women were women because they have lived as men with all the privilege that entails and do not have the same experience of growing up as a female in a patriarchal society, is what she said. Which seems to me to be a fairly, if that's her view, it's a fairly decent view. She's not,
I don't think she's being outrageous.
She's not denying something that historically we know happened. She's not saying, she's not denying that. She's just got a view on this. What I'm saying, as far as censorship goes, you shouldn't be allowed to say anything that's illegal or might cause a riot in the streets, for instance, and might give comfort to people on the, say, the extreme right or the extreme left, of, you know, or cause revolution or something. And then we've got laws, and the laws, I think, are perfectly, the law will handle all this stuff. I don't think you need to just stop allowing people to...
No, but no one's suggesting that you stop allowing people to say anything at all. I think that the university's got that one wrong, because what she's saying is not so controversial that she shouldn't be allowed to speak or whatever. But also, there's an argument for not giving a platform to people who say, and I'm not talking about her in this instance because I don't think that what she said is that extreme, but there is an argument for not giving a platform to people who say stuff that is... that is offensive. And I'm not talking about causing violence, I'm talking about just offensive things. So we'll take the Holocaust denial stuff again. David Irving spoke at universities, lots and lots. Should he have been given that platform by universities?
Well, I would say yes that he should have been given that platform by universities. As long as he doesn't stray into saying anything that's illegal, I think that's fine. I'm going to stick to the point that I said, it's the law can handle this. We don't need...
So what if someone... It's not illegal to say that being gay is unnatural. So should people be allowed to say that in universities as well?
Yeah, I would have said so.
But then you're giving a podium to people who are saying...
Allowing,
for example, like Marine Le Pen spoke at a university...
In France, I assume.
No, in a British university. She came over here and she spoke in a university. And she is... so right-wing. She doesn't even really believe in democracy, I don't think. She's unbelievably right-wing. We do a lot about her in French lessons because we do about French society, and she is, the most racist.
But she's breaking the law. Yeah. If she says something...
But she doesn't. So she comes into this university and she says, when she gets talking about immigration, and she says, what you've got to think about, and she says it really softly spoken, and she's very smart, and she says, what you've got to think about is, if think of the country as your house... Would you want just any old person walking into your house? And all of a sudden, you can see people nodding along because she's clever in manipulating people's emotions.
Well, good luck to her if that's what...
As
long as she stays the right side of the law, I don't see the problem.
Yeah, but I don't think laws protect you against everything.
No, and well, you can't be protected against everything.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't... And I think that we can't be too prissy about what we allow people to say and to not to say, because then... it gets into a whole thing of censorship, which is not good. But the argument of anyone should be allowed to say whatever they want is not okay.
Within the law. Now, Ruthie, you had a thing about Meow Meow, which is... Well, you have to explain to me exactly what Meow Meow... I know
so
it's a drug.
Meperidrone or something. I can't say any of the words I've got this week. Meow Meow was at the height of its popularity between 2007, 2009-ish, maybe up to 2010, and then it came back a little bit. There was loads and loads of stuff about it. It's proper party drug, rave drug, and people... It's a psychedelic as well. And then it got really out of hand and stuff, and then the government banned all psychedelics. And I read a story, and there was these university students...
They call them psychoactive drugs, I think.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I swear they call them psychedelics.
Well, you get a psychedelic experience. So psychedelic is, for a weird experience and you think you can fly and everything. But the actual drug itself...
I thought they called them psychedelics.
Yeah, maybe they do.
And so there was these... And they talked about these university students. They were selling it while it was legal, because it was legal for quite a while. Between 2007 and 2009, it was still legal. Then there was loads of talk about it becoming illegal, so they imported loads of it over from China, and then it got made illegal and they could put the prices up, and they earned $30,000 in a month and stuff, and they were paying for their university with it. And then they banned it, and so the usage really went down. And between 2007 and 2009, for the first time, cocaine usage dropped massively because people were just using meow, meow, meow. And now cocaine usage has gone back up. So really, what's the point of ever banning drugs?
It'd be interesting how the cannabis experiment goes in 20-odd states in America and in Canada as well.
Yeah, it goes well, doesn't it? Pretty much everywhere it goes. Like, everywhere that...
Well, so far, I think because it's fairly new, you would never... It would be 5-10 years before you could judge an effect it had on society. I mean, what really is... What looks a frightening, terrible drug is spice, you know, which is very, very cheap. And you've just seen people walking around some town centres like zombies. But meow meow remains illegal.
They banned... This is the thing, that they banned, like, all psychedelic drugs, did all of those, which it lends itself to loads more problems and stuff than it did solve anything.
Yeah, I think people will always go for the cheapest drug, won't they?
But so then people do... I mean, you know,
When there's a surfeit of heroin, you know, people are selling, like, 2 pound wraps of heroin, so, you know...
Yeah, but this is... Like, coke is really expensive. Not really, really expensive, like, you can afford it, but it's expensive-ish.
Yes, it would cost you more than buying the hash browns at Subway. Meme of the Week, Ruth. Do you have a meme of the week for us?
This was not the original one I was going to do, but this fits quite well with our drug theme that we've had this week. Got the munchies, so snuck into the kitchen to get a snack. It's all dark, so I assume everyone's asleep. Tiptoe through the dining room to get to the kitchen fridge. Very slowly make a bowl of cereal in order to make no noise. Turns out it was 7 o'clock in the evening, I was just wearing sunglasses, and my parents were at the dinner table watching me creep around the kitchen and pour the world's slowest bowl of cereal. That's high.
That's very good. Very good. Just one more thing before we go. Are you familiar with the concept of the French tuck? I know you do French at school.
No.
Oh, well, apparently the latest fashion trend amounts to tucking the front of your shirt into your waistband. So you tuck your shirt in the front, but you leave it hanging out.
Yeah, that's what I do on the set.
Ah, well, that is... And you
that's what
leave,
I do now.
Yeah, and you leave it hanging out at the back.
Yeah.
Well, that apparently is a French tuck. And
God, everyone's been doing that for years.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I don't know, I didn't know this was a...
Well, it's a thing. That's what we say
good,
nowadays.
It's a thing now.
It's a thing. It's the French tuck. But as my view was, when I used to be a schoolboy, long, long time ago, I would always come home, my shirt would, you know, because in those days, nobody left a shirt hanging out. Your shirt was tucked in your trousers. And my shirt was always tucked in at the front. But, of course, because I'd been, you know, kicking a football around the backfield and everything at school, it was hanging out of the back. So I was about 50 years ahead of the world in inventing the French tuck. I think that'll do it this week, just to repeat the addresses.
It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And it's Ruthie, me and my dad, or Martin and Ruth on Spotify.
And it's time now for us to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.